Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim Daf Lamed Tes. We begin a brand new Mishnah at the very top line. And the Mishnah tells us, Ve'elu yirakos she'adam yotzei behem yidei chovasu bepesach. The following is a list of the vegetables. Notice specifically we call them vegetables here. That will be an important point that the Gemara will make later on. We don't call them zroyim. We call them vegetables. And the following vegetables, one can fulfill his obligation to eat maror, which during the times of the Beis HaMikdash with the Korban Pesach was a mitzvah to say d'oraisa. Nowadays, Nebuch, B'Avosein, Rab, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanon. Still a very important mitzvah, but not on a d'oraisa level. And most poskim in Shulchan Aruch and other places say that the order here is critical. Now, we're going to have an order in our Mishnah, which is different than the order that's actually provided in the Mishnayis, where the Mishnah is listed, and it's different than a Braisa that's given down in the Gemara. So there are controversies in terms of the pecking order and the hierarchy here as to which one of these is Halacha L'maisa considered the optimal one to use. But in all of them, the first one that is listed is Chazeres, which is usually translated as lettuce. And we translate this as romaine lettuce, and that is considered the preferred item to be otzi maror by everybody. Again, this is assuming that there are no problems with eating insects. That's a major concern, and there are poskim that say if the question about the insects can't be resolved, so then it's better not to use this. And with many of these vegetables that we're going to be listing here, we're not 100% sure where they are, what they are, and there are different minhagim, and each person should follow their own minhag in terms of halacha l'maisa, what they use for maror. But we'll get into this discussion right now. And the Mishnah tells us the following order of yirakos are suggested. B'chazeres, the first one is chazeres, which, as I said, is usually translated as romaine lettuce. B'tamcha, the Gemara will explain exactly what tamcha is. B'char chavina, that's the third one. B'ulshin, that's the fourth one. U'b'morar, we'll see whether that's a specific one or some consider this a general category for any bitter herb. And as soon as we start the Gemara, we'll start defining or trying to define what some of these vegetables actually are. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Yotzin Bohen, you can fulfill the obligation with them, whether Bein Lachin, Bein Yevashim, whether they are wet, moist, or whether they're dried. Now, Bartanura brings down here that this is only referring to the klach, the kelach, the stalk part. The leaves must be moist, they can't be dry. And the Gemara will say this itself, and he reminds us of this in his Pirish on the Mishnayis. So that you can fulfill it with a moist or a dried out stalk, or the kelach. There's homachlokis where the kelach is only when it's above the ground, or it includes that which is in the ground as well. Now, avalo kavushin, but it can't be if they are kovush. Kovush means that they're pickled, basically. They're preserved, usually in vinegar, but others suggest there can be other types of liquids as well. Likewise, velo shlukin, velo mivushalim. Shlukin is, Rashi points out, when they're cooked for a specific longer period of time. Mivushalim harbi ma'od, achini mochim. They essentially are dissolved. That's how much they're stewed. And mivushalim is kiderach bishul, like the regular amount of cooking, not as much as shlukin. Umitztarpin l'chizayis. And all of them can combine together to make the shear of a kizayis. They're all considered similar enough that you can combine them to make a kizayis of the shear of the kizayis, normally achil. Matzos umarom yochlu, so the shear of achila is normally kizayis. So theoretically, one could have half of the shear of chazeres and half of the shear of tamcha combined to make the full shear, and that is acceptable. Famous question is, why wasn't this mentioned in terms of the matzah? Why didn't we say that you have half the shear of chita and half the shear of kusmin, that would be acceptable as well? So this is answered by the Ran. The Ran brings down that don't think that the same thing doesn't apply by the grains. Of course they are. But the reason why the Mishnah specifically told it to us over here was because by the Yerakos they have different tastes. And therefore, one might have thought that since the Maror, the Iker, is the Tam, the Meriras, so therefore one might have thought that you can't combine different tastes. As opposed to by the grains, they basically all have the same taste. And therefore, it's clear and obvious that they can be Mitztarif. And the Mishnah didn't have to tell it to us. In addition, he says that the tam of one of the morers you might have thought would nullify or be mavatel because it's a stronger morer, so you don't have enough of a taste of the shear. So therefore, he says that's again why it has to tell us this specifically mitztarfin lechazayis in regards to the morer, but it wasn't necessary to say that in regards to the different grains that we mentioned, the five grains that you can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with. Mishnah continues and tells us, "Yotzin bakelach shalem." You can fulfill the obligation not only with the leafy part, but also with the stalk part. And as I mentioned, there are differences of opinion as to whether this includes that which is below the ground or only the stalk that's above the ground. Likewise, as we had learned in the previous Mishnah, dealing with the grains, ubidmai, you can fulfill it with demai. Again, we're uncertain over here as to whether the Amoritz took off demai or not, but we say you can be yotze with something that you took from the Amoritz, since majority of them did in fact take off trumas and maestros. And in this situation, the rabbi said, since you could be mafgar all your possessions and technically eat demai, so therefore you can be yotze with demai. You can be yotze with maaser rishon shenitlo truma. So with maaser rishon that was taken off the trumas maaser, the maaser ben maaser, it was the Levi went ahead and got it earlier than the obligation to take off Truma Gedola, so you'd only have to take off Truma Smeiser and not the Truma Gedola. And likewise, with Meiser Sheni, the Hector Shinifdu, we said if you have Meiser Sheni that had a pigeon, albeit you only were redeeming the principal, but you didn't yet pay the chomesh. And same thing by hektish, you redeemed the principal, but you didn't pay the chomesh, so that is considered padui. It's not ma'akev that you still owe the chomesh, and all of these are perfectly good by the matzah, and here again by the mar. Now the Gemara starts off and tells us what these yirokos are. Chazeres is referred to as chasa, which is lettuce. It's a very interesting art scroll footnote, which tells us that the word lettuce comes from the Latin word lactuca. Again, lactate is milk. So therefore, it's interesting that all of these herbs, these bitter herbs, as we'll see in the Gemara later on, it's going to tell us that all of the species of mora that are acceptable all have sraf. Sraf is like a juice that comes out of them, this whitish, milky-like substance that comes out of them when you cut them, and that's why lettuce is called lactuca, lettuce, because of this milky white substance. Now, in our Mishnah, the next species that we had listed was tamcha, but here, in this Gemara, it had a different order, a different hierarchy, and the next species that's listed over here is ulshin, which is known as hindavi. Rashi gives a lot of foreign language words for all of these that are old French words, and it's not clear 100% what they are. This hindavi is often translated as endives, or chicory. The next one is listed as tamcha. So what is that? Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, he said it's tamchasa, shema. And this is usually translated as chrein, what many people use for bitter herbs before romaine lettuce became much more prominent. The next one that's listed is Charchavina. So I'm Rishim and Lakish. Rish Lakish says, this is Atzavsa de Dikla. Now, Rashi translates Atzavsa de Dikla as the sieve, Hagodel, the Nichrach, Sovid Ledeko. This is some sort of a vine that runs around the deco tree, and it's known as a French word, Vidilia. And finally, the last one that's listed over here is Ubimara. What is that? That's Mirisa, which some say is a specific type of a vegetable. Others say it's a general class of bitter herbs. Again, there's a tremendous amount of discussion. You can see this in art scroll footnotes as well as in many other places as to what exactly some of these bitter herbs are. Halacha l'maisa, we're not 100% sure, and that's why most people use either romaine lettuce, some people use regular lettuce, or they use the chrein, or some people use endives or chicory. Those are the major ones that people use halacha l'maisa. Now we bring a brisa. Tani bar Kapara. Bar Kapara brings down the following brisa. Elu yirokos shel miyotzei b'hamidei chavos b'pesach. He says the following are the vegetables that you can fulfill your obligation with to eat mara on Pesach. And he starts off, he doesn't mention chazeres over here, he starts off with ulshin. Then the next one is with samcha. We've already explained what both of those two are. Then he has a third one, b'charchalin. Charchalin, Rashi says, lo isparish shemo. We don't know what exactly that is. The next one is charchavinin. Most people say that this is the Charchavina that we talked about. And the next one he brings down, Ubechazorin, which is the Chazeres. Here he has it again as the last one. Rashi says, this is Chazeres. Rav Yehuda Omer, he adds, and he says, Af Ulshe Sodeh, you can also use wild Ulshin. Sodeh means wild. So Ulshe Sodeh, or the Ulshe Gina, or the ones that belong to the Gina, the Ulshin that are from the garden. And as well, the Chazeres. Where it says, Ulshagin of a Chazeres, Hotonale Resha. We already mentioned them. Why is Rav Yehuda adding them? The Tanakhama already said it. So Gemara says, Hagikom, and this is what Rav Yehuda is saying. Af Ulshe Sada. This Ulshe Sada, which he brought down, that's the new thing. He says it has the same halachic status as the other two, Ki Ulshagina the Chazeres. They are exactly the same as the Ulshagina Chazeres, which the Tanakhama listed in terms of their status. Now Gemara says, Rav Meir Omer, he tells us additional things. He says, Af asvos vitura umar yiro or. He adds three things over here that are also bitter herbs that are acceptable to be yotzi the mitzvah. Rashi just explains these are all mina yirokus. These are other bitter herbs. Amli Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to Rav Meir, asvas vetura ekadu. They are exactly the same thing. They're, I guess, two different names for this one vegetable. And he says that which you called mar yiroar, that's umar zehu yiroar. That's also one species that has these different names attached to it. The gears on the side of the Gemara tells us sira acher. Another gears is chadhu. This is one vegetable, umaru, and it's a bitter vegetable, vizehu ma yiro, and that's called the mayor. He brings down the name of the marshal. Now we continue with another bright, so tona devei. Now the girsa that we have is Rav Shmuel, but it's in parentheses, so tona devei Shmuel. They learn the base medrash Shmuel the following girsa. Elu yirokus shad miyotzei ben yidei chavosim Pesach. The following are the bitter herbs that you can fulfill your obligation to eat maror on Pesach. Number one, b'chazeres, we said that previously. B'ulshin, number two. B'samcha, number three. B'char chabinin, that's the char chavina, that's number four. And here he adds, u'b'char ginin. Some suggest that this is oregano. And then he adds additional ones. U'b'char dofnin. Again, Rashi gives a foreign language for it. There are a lot of different interpretations of what this hardofdin is. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Ad chazeres yulin, the chazeres galin kayosven. These other specific types of chazeres, the chazeres yulin and the chazeres galin, they're similar but obviously different than the regular chazeres. They're also considered good to be yotze. Rabbi Loi Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Loi says the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Af Akarbalin. He says also this vegetable known as akarbalin is acceptable as well. Rashi says, Meforish Mesov Parisheni de Erevin, this is Atzvasa Charzisa, which is the Siv Godov of Umin L'atzmuhu. This is also some sort of a vine, some sort of a growth that grows around certain types of trees, such as a palm tree. And he adds, V'chazarti al kol tamida. And the simple understanding that Rashi has over here is he went to find Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer. He asked all the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, Ubikashti li chover lisayeni sheshoma davazemi piv, v'lo motzasi. And he asked all the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, did you hear the Rebbe say that af akablin is good? And none of them said they had heard the Rebbe say this, Rabbi Eliezer say this. Now, that's Rashi's understanding. Tosos in the Gemara in Ervin has a different shot. Tosos over there, he gives his couple of shotim, and he says that the pshat is that he couldn't find any of the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe this fits in also with the idea that Rabbi Eloi says, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He didn't hear it directly from Rabbi Eliezer. He heard it in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. So he, Mistama, doesn't know a lot of the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, and he tried to find Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, according to Tosos, and therefore he wasn't able to find them. Until, finally, V'chazarti al-kol Talmidav V'kash Duchav al-Motzasi, until U'kishabasi l'pnei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I did find Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Hodilidvar, he said, yes, Taka, that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He did say that. Now we have Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koshieshel Sraf. This is what I mentioned before. All of these bitter herbs that have some sort of a sraf, some sort of a juice inside of them. Rashi says this is like a sap. Kishisochatin, oh, so you squeeze it out. After you cut it, you squeeze it out. On the gears on the side, it says, Shechotkin, when you cut it, not that you squeeze it, you just cut it, and the sap comes out. Yotiminu Sraf. Love one. Kicholov. This is a whitish substance like milk. The Korin Latin. And this is the milk-like substance that comes out. That's the sraf. Rav Yochanan Broch Omer, kosher panam machsifin. He has a different category of categorization of what makes it an acceptable vegetable. He says any vegetable that is machsifin. Rashi says, eino yorok mode. It's not very green. Kikarsi, like leek. Ella pildosh. It's pale. It's a lighter color of green. So that is, by definition, something that's morer. So we had one definition that has to have sap, and another definition that it has to be machsifin, a paler green color. Chayr momrim, you need both. Kol yerek mar, yesh lo sraf, upanim machsifin. If you want to be a bitter herb, you have to have both of these criteria in order to be acceptable. Sraf and panim machsifin. Rashi says, tarvayu isla, you need both of them. Yesh lo sraf, upanim machsifin. You have to have the sap, and it has to be a paler color. The hein hein simoni morer. These are the definitions of morer. So if you're out in the woods someplace and you find something that has these characteristics, that would be, according to the opinion that says, when it says ubimorer, it means any other type of bitter herb, so that would include those types of bitter herbs as well. Rav Yochanan, midivrei kula nilmad, from all of these tanoim that discussed this previously as to what is acceptable for morer, we learn the following. Yarak mar, a bitter herb, yesh lo sraf upanam asifim. It should have both of these characteristics, the sraf upanam asifim, and Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'achem. We paskin like this opinion of the achem, which is usually Rav Meir, And this, in fact, is the halacha. He says that you need to have both of these characteristics to be acceptable to be yotzei the mitzvah of maror on Pesach night. Ravina Ashchil Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, the Havah Mahader Amarisa. Ravina found that Rav Acha Brei D'Rava was specifically trying to find Amarisa. What Rashi had said before was something called Pupritz, this certain type of bitter herb, a very specific bitter herb, the Mefashim was saying because it was specifically very bitter. And he thought there was a Mila in using something that was very bitter. Gemara later on is going to suggest that how do we know that you can be Yotzi with more than one type of Marar? The Pasuk says amatzus murorim. So that's what we'll learn out, that many types of maror could be good, but there was a havamin to think that you could only be using the most bitter type of herb. So in any event, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava specifically tried to find this amirsa, which is very bitter. Amalei, my daitcha, the maririn tvei, are you trying to find this because you think it's very, very bitter, and that way you'll be yotzi the mitzvah in the optimal way? Chazeris is listed first by almost every calculation, and therefore the order here is critical. That is the one that is preferred. And therefore, why are you looking specifically for Amrisa that wasn't listed first? The Chazeris, the romaine lettuce, that's the one that's listed first. The Tanav Dei Shmuel, they learn the base medrash of Shmuel, Chazeris, you should try to get Chazeris. And likewise, V'yomer Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya said the same thing, mitzvah b'chazeris, the preferred way of doing the mitzvah is with Chazeris. V'yomer Rav said, my Chazeris, what is Chazeris? It's chasa, what we call lettuce. Now, why specifically is that the best thing to be yotzi with? My chasa, why specifically should we use chasa? Rashi explains, my taima karina lechasa. He's not asking what is chasa. He's asking why bedavka should we use chasa. So he answers. The Gemara says, the chas rachmana ilavin, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu took mercy on us. As Rashi says, he continues, mishum dezecherhu. It's a reminder of us, the chas rachmana alan, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on us. Am lohachi kaima, and that's why we bedavka use this. The chas rachmana ilavin, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu took mercy on us. And furthermore, Yomer Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Yomer Rav Yonasan, Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni is the name of Yonasan, Lama Nim Shalom Mitzriyim, Kimara. Why are the Egyptians compared to Mara? Because they were like Mara. In what way? Lomalach to teach us. Ma Mara zeh shetchilo sarach. The Mara is soft at the beginning, but then it gets hard over time. The Sofa Kasha. So too, our Shibu de Mitzrayim, Af Mitzriyim, Tchilos and Raka. They were very nice to us at the beginning. However, the Sofa and Kasha, but afterwards they were horrible to us. As Rashi points out, they paid us to work. They rented us out. But then, afterwards, it became much more difficult. And this is like, the stalk gets hard like wood. So therefore, that's what Ravina told Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, don't look specifically for Amrirsa. You should look for regular Chazeres. So he told him, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says back to him, okay, I will. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava said, I will hadri be. I will no longer go and do this. Lo osif od, Rashi says. He won't continue to go specifically look for the Amrirsa. Nagmar continues and says, Amalei Rav, Rechumi li Abayi. Rav Rechumi says to Abayi, Mimai dahai maror min yereku. How do we know that maror is actually a vegetable? Maybe ema mirirsa de kufya. Maybe it should be the mar, which is the gall of kufya. Now what is kufya? So Rashi tells us that kufya is a fish. Mara shall dog, shishmokein. This is the name of a fish called kufya. The Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that this fish, yesh bishomer, that this is mara shall dog, shishmok kufya, vihi shibuta. This is the famous shibuta fish, which is also known as the kuyus haspan, in the Spanish mackerel. But he also gives another pshat. He says that it is the mar, the gall of a behema. In any event, how do we know that that's not what you're supposed to be eating for mara? Who says that mara is a bitter herb? Maybe it's this bitter gall. So the Gemara says, no, do me the matzah, because it's made a hekish. Matzah sum rorim. So there's a hekish with matzah. My matzah gidule karka. Just like matzah comes from grains that are grown in the ground, so to have mara gidule karka. Mara has to be from grains in the ground. No, the Gemara says, vema hirduf. Maybe it's referring to hirduf. What is hirduf? Rashi tells us. Eitz, it's a tree. Shehim tikbo Moshe esme mara. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu threw into the bitter waters of mara, and it turned them into sweet. So it was an eis b'soch neis. Shua yomar, this tree itself is bitter. That's the hirduf, and yet he put it into the bitter water, and it turned it sweet. That was the neis betoch neis. So maybe hirduf is what you're supposed to eat for mara. Someone says, no, again, there's a hekish with matzah. Do me the matzah. It has to be comparable to matzah. My matzah means zroim, just like the matzah is coming from grains, there's zroim, and not a tree. Af mara means zroim, so the mara also has to come from zroim and not a tree. Someone says, so maybe then the emar harzifu. Maybe it's something called harzifu. What is harzifu? So Rashi tells us, minzera. The samamavis lebehemo. It's actually poisonous to animals. Tosus asks the Gemara in Lulav HaGozel, in Gemara in Sukkah, asked the same question when we asked, maybe the Hadas is this Hirduf, and it said it's impossible that we would be asked to take something that is poisonous. Derochel da'achei noah. So why don't we say that same teretz over here? So Tosfos says, because we have a better teretz. What's the better teretz? So Gemara says, it can't be harzifu, because it has to be dumi de matzah. Again, it has to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah, sheni kachas, because of ma'aser sheni. The matzah can be purchased, as we said, with ma'aser sheni funds. So too, af mora, because of this hekish of matzah mora, af mora has to be something, sheni kach, be ma'aser sheni funds. Has to be nikach, because of ma'aser sheni. Gemara says, Amalei Rabba by Rav Chanan Liabayi. So Emor Morer Chad. So I mentioned this before. Maybe Morer is only one species. How do we know it's so many different species? Shmuel says because Matzos Umrorim Mirorim Ksiv. So it tells us plural. So why don't we say Emor Mirorim Trei? Normally we say Miut Rabim Ishtayim. The whenever the Torah gives something in plural, we always say if you Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta Tafasta Mu Tafasta. So it always means the minimal amount. So Merorim should be two. So there are two species of Mora that should be good. The first two species, but all the other species should not be good. Someone says, no, don't eat the matzah. Again, it's comparable to matzah. Just like by matzah, meat of harbe, just like matzah has many different species that are kosher, the five different species to make matzah, according to others, it could even be more. So too, af Mora, meaning harbe. So too, the Mora has many different species. Mark continues and says, I'm a rabbi by Rav Huna, I'm a rav. Yirako shamru chachad mishad yotzei v'ani dechav asav Pesach. Those vegetables which are kosher to be yotzei the mitzvah morer, kula nizroim baruga achas. They all can be planted in one garden area without being a problem of kilayim. We have elsewhere, we've learned many times, that you have a patch that is 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, and you can plant in each corner one species, or on the sides one species, and one species in the middle. So you can plant 5 species in such a patch. So this is true, all of them, kulan nizroim baruga achas, they all can be planted over here in one patch. So the Gemara says, lemeimra, the last behu, mishum kilayim, are you telling me that there's no din of kilayim? So Mosiv Rava, Rava says, I'll show you that there is a din of kilayim. Mosiv Rava, chazeres, the Mishnah in kilayim tells us that chazeres is not kilayim with chazeres galen. These are similar enough that they're not considered kilayim one with the other. Likewise, ulshin, the regular ulshin, and ulshin sada, and the wild ulshin. Kreshin, the regular kreshin, and ukreshe sada, and the wild kreshin, the leeks. Kuzbar, what's normally translated as coriander, and the kuzbar sada, and the wild coriander. Chardal, mustard, the chardal mitzri, and the Egyptian mustard. Udalas ha-mitzri, varamutza, and what's known as the dalas ha-mitzri, certain type of gourd from Mitzrayim, and hormutza, a certain other type of gourd, Einon kilayim zebezeh. All of these are not kilayim with each other. Now, Rabbah says they're not kilayim with each other. Chazeres, chazeres galen, in all of them, the two that we brought aren't kilayim with each other, but the implication is that they're kilayim with everything else. Chazeres ulshin lo, but the chazeres would be kilayim with the ulshin. All the others would be kilayim with the others that are not like them. Now, v'chitema, kulu ba'adodi k'toni lu, now you're going to tell me that all of them are considered nakilayim one with the other, but that's not right. For Amar Rav, Rav specifically stated that this Mishnah is zugos, zukos k'toni, that it's only the chazeres and the chazeres galen that aren't kilayim. They're kilayim with all the others. Ulshin and ulshi sada aren't kilayim with each other, but they're kilayim with everything else. So therefore, how can you tell me that kula nizroim baruga achas? How can you tell me that they're all planted in one patch over here? So Gemara says, mine is wrong, the Amar Rav, when Rav said, Amarab Barafuna, Amarab, that they're all allowed to be planted, Kula Nizroin Baruga Achas, it meant Nizroin Kilchosin. It's like I explained it previously, that you can go plant them in a way that you're not over Kilayim. So you have 4 species on each of the 4 corners or on a strip on the end, and then you have 1 species in the middle. That's what it means, Kilchosin. Shmuel says, if that's what it is, Kilchosin, so then Tanina, why is Rav telling us what we learned Beferish in the Mishnah in Kilayim? We turn to the Amid Beis. It says in Kilayim, Aruga shehishish al shish tefachim. That's what I mentioned before. If you have a patch of ground, a patch of dirt that is 6 by 6 tefachim, zorim besocha chamisha zaronim, you're able to go and plant within it 5 different species and not be over kilayim. How do you do this? Arba al aruchos. You do 4 of the species in the corners on the outer rim, and of the aruga the achas b'yemtza, and 1 in the middle. So that's what Rav meant. Kilchosim. It's a beferish mishnah in kilayim. What's Rav coming to add? So Gemara says, Here's the Chiddush of Rav. Mal detema, if we didn't have Rav's statement, I would have said Hani Mili Bizroin. That would only be true in regards to Zroin, but not Yerokos. Aval Yerokos lo. I would have said Yerokos require a larger area not to be Kilayim, and you couldn't plant five of them within a space of 6x6 Tvachim, because they need too much ground in between them to be nourished, and therefore there would be Kilayim in this type of a planting. Komash Valon, Rav is telling us, no, even though they may need more ground than Zroim, Yerokos need more ground than Zroim, but it still can fit into a patch that's 6x6 Tvachim, five different species. That's why Rav is telling us, Kil Chason. That's the Chiddush of Rav. It's not only Zroim, but even Yerokos. So Gemara says, Lememra, that statement of Rav implies the Yerokos Alima Mizroim, that Yerokos require more space than Zroim. But that's not true. But Tanan, there's another Mishnah Kilayim that says the opposite. Kol Mine Zroim, Ein Zorim Be'aruga Achas. Zroim can't be planted in this type of a structure, whereas Kol Mine Yerokos, Zorim Be'aruga Achas. Whereas Yerokos can. In other words, the Zroim are Alima Mi Yerokos. Exactly the opposite of what Rav said. So it says, you're right, Taka. So therefore, Ma'al Detema, the Chiddush of Rav is, Hani Maror Min Zroim Ninu. Maror is a type of Zroim. So I might have thought that it can't be planted within this patch of 6x6 Tvachim. Komash Malon, Rav is telling us that it can, even though it's Zroim. Where it says, Zroim? You're calling them Zroim, Sokadaitach? What's not Yerokos? Remember when I started the mission, I said they're called Yerokos, they're specifically called vegetables, and not Zroim. And likewise, Vitoni Bar Kapara, Yerokos, when Bar Kapara brought down his brides, he called them vegetables. And likewise, Vitoni Devei Shmuel, in the base of Shmuel, they call them Yerokos. So how can you tell me that they're Zroim, and that's the Chiddush of Rav? Shmuel says, you're right, and this is the real situation. Chazeres, it's Trichole. The whole Chiddush of Rav is for Chazeres, because I would have said on my own, since this type of Yerokos, Chazeres, we pointed out before, it was like the bitterness in Mitzrayim. It starts off soft and then it became hard. So, since the Chazeres will eventually get hard, the Kelach will get very hard, Rashi tells us. Kelach shelo nasa of, the stalk becomes very hard. I might have thought that you can plant it in such a small arrangement of 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim. Because after all, didn't Rav Yossi Rav Chanina teach us a similar idea when it came to cabbage? Kelach shel kruv, the stalk of cabbage, of kruv, shehuksha, that becomes hard, marchiv lo beis rova, it can't be planted near anything else, it requires a much larger space, a beis rova, in order for it to be able to be planted near something else. You have to distance it from a beis rova, and that's a larger area. That's over 10 amos by 10 amos, Rashi tells us. Malkom zriyas rova akab, Chotzer Hamishkon Hayoshir LeBeis Asayim Chol Beis Kor UBeis Sa UBeis Rova Shil Gemara Lefi Osel Cheshbon. This is based upon the size of the Azara, which was 50x100 in the Mishkan, and therefore this is a much larger area. Which, if you go through the calculations, comes to be over 10 amma by 10 amma, not planted within 6 tvachim, which is 1 amma. So therefore, Rav Yosef Chanina tells us Alma Kiven the Sofa LaHakshos Yovino LeRivochetvei. Since this Kruv, you have to give it much larger space, even though at the beginning it doesn't require so much because it's going to get hard. It requires a much larger space. So I might have thought, Hochanami, so too, in regards to the Kelach of the Chazeres, Nesiv Lo Revochetvei, since it's going to get hard, you need to give it more space. So the Chiddush of Rav is, Komash Vilon, Rav comes to tell us that no, it doesn't. So that's why Rav is being Mechadish on the Mishnah in Kilayim. Now, our Mishnah said then, Yotzim Behen Bein Lachem In Yivashin, Chule. We said that you can use it whether it's moist or whether it's dried out. And as I already pointed out from the Bar Tanura, he brings down this Gemara, Amar Chis, the Ruchis is telling us that's not the leaves. Lo Shonu El Bekelach. The stalk part can be moist or dry. It can be wet or it can be dried out. But, Avo Ba'olin, the leaves, Lachem In Yivashin Lo. They must be moist. If they're dried out, they're no good. And, since the Sefer says the Kelach Shebehen Michal the Reisha Alin, that implies that the Reisha is talking about both moist and dry by the leaves. So where it says no, the Sefer where it says Kelach is good is an explanation of the Reisha. Perushe Komefirish. It's not two separate things. It tells us that you're allowed to use Yevashin or Lachin. Lachin and Yevashin are both good. Yosef ben bein lachem ben Yevashin. And when it said that, Pirusha come and farish, Kikitane ben lachem ben Yevashin, it's talking about the Kelach. But the Al and the leaves, only if they're lachen, not if they're Yevashin. Gemara now questions this. Meisvei, Rav Chisda, who said that it's only talking about the Kelach, when it can be moist or dry, but the alin have to be moist. They're not good when they're dry. It's more questions this. The Baisa tells us, Yotzin Behen Ubakela Shalan. You're allowed to go and be Yotzin Mitzvah Matzah with the leaves, or with the kelach, or with the stalk. And here it says, Beferish, Bein Lachin, Bein Yevashin, Divi Rameir. Rameir says whether they're moist or dry. Now he's talking about both the leaves and the stalk. So it's a kasha. And the Chachamim, Lachim, Yotzi Behen, Yevashin, and Yotzi Behen. The Chachamim say, no, you can only be Yotzi then when they're moist. Now this is true of both the leaves and the kelach. Yevashin, and Yotzi Behen. You can't fulfill it. So therefore, you have both of these opinions, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that don't agree with what Rav Chista said. The Shavim, and both Rav Meir and the Chachamim agree, Shiotzim Kamushin, that if it's just withered a little bit, Kamushin is something called, in Rashi, a foreign word that means Nikmatim or Novlin, which means that it is not fully dry, so that's acceptable. Shiotzim Kamushin. However, Avalo, Kivushin, but they can't be if they're put into vinegar, preservatives, so pickled, below Shlukin, and not if they're overly cooked, we call the shlukin, the lo mivushalim. And likewise, you said, not if they're boiled, like we said in the Mishnah. And the bottom line is, this brisa tells us, klal shadavar, kosh yesh bo tam mor yotzim bo, v'kosh ein bo tam mor ein yotzim bo. If it has a bitter herb taste to it, so then you can be fulfilling the mitzvah with it. If it doesn't have the bitter taste with it, you can. Now, the bottom line is, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim don't agree with Rav Chista. Rav Meir says that both the leaves and the stalk can be moist and dry. So that's the closest opinion to Rav Chista, because the Chachamim say, no, nothing can be used if it's dry. So here you see that the leaves also can be moist or dry, not like Rav Chista said. So where it says, Tirgum Ma'akelach. No, that part, which this Braisa tells us, that Rav Meir holds that it can be moist or dry on both of them, Bein Lachem, Bein Yevashim, that's only going on the Kelach, but it's not going on the Alem. So Yotzin Bahen, you can be Yotzin with the leaves, that was the first statement of Meir. And then it said, Uba Kelach Lahem, Bein Lachem, Bein Yevashim, Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Chista says, I hold with this understanding of Rav Meir, that's exactly what I said. Now we have another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Ein Yotzin Ben Kamushim. Here this Braisa argues with the previous Braisa. Here it says, you can't fulfill the mitzvah with bitter herbs that are kamushin, that are withered. In the previous braisa, we said that they can be fulfilled when they are withered. So it's a steer between the two braises. This braisa continues, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Amru, and then Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, they said, furthermore, Yotzim em kamushin. They can be Yotzim kamushin. So this second opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, that agrees with the first braisa, but the Tanakhama, the second braisa, disagrees with the Tanakhama, the first braisa, and as well with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok. Now we continue. The Gemara says, "Boy, Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama, asked the following shaila: Ma'ushi etzi adam yedei chovaso b'morishal ma'isa sheni b'yushalayim." This parallels a previous discussion that we had with matzah. Can you fulfill with grains of ma'isa sheni? So to here we're asking, can you fulfill your obligation with morer that was ma'isa sheni? So the Gemara says, we already had this discussion in regards to matzah. And there, Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva, had said that you're allowed to fulfill your obligation of matzah with ma'aser sheni. We had the whole drushes, we won't go through them again, why. He had a machlokes with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Akiva said, yes, you can. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, you can't. So Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva, who said you can fulfill with matzah of ma'aser sheni, lo tibolach, the question doesn't get off the ground. Because, hashto b'matzah d'oraisa, nothing. Now, ma'aser on grains is a mitzvah daraisa. We're talking about the obligation to tithe your grains. That's a mitzvah daraisa to tithe grains. And yet, Rabbi Akiva held that you could take such ma'aser sheni grains and make them into matzah and fulfill your obligation. So, hashto b'matzah daraisa nafik, with something that had an obligation to take off ma'asros on a daraisa level, you could fulfill your mitzvah. So certainly, b'mara, that it's only the Rabbanan. Mibaya, Mara is only an obligation to the Rabbanan to take off tithes. Only the seven species of Eretz Yisrael have the mitzvah daraisa to take off Trumas and Maisos. The rest are all me the Rabbanan. So Mara is only an obligation to the Rabbanan to take off Trumas and Maisos. So certainly, if you can fulfill Maisa Sheni daraisa, that there was an obligation to take it off daraisa, so certainly you can fulfill it, according to Rabbi Kiva, with something that only had Maisa Sheni me the Rabbanan. So that question doesn't even get off the ground. Now Rashi points out that there's a Lishna Achrina that suggests that this answer is saying that the Chiyuv of Matzah is Daraisa, versus nowadays the chiyuv of Maror is the Rabbanon, as I mentioned earlier in the Shia. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat. He goes to reasons why it's not true. And therefore, look in the Rashi, Dibra Maslo, Kein Daraisa Tikkun. So we reject that pshat and we leave the pshat that I said, which is that we're dealing here with a chiyuv to take off Trumas HaMaisa's Daraisa and the Matzah, and only a chiyuv mid Rabbanon to take off Trumas HaMaisa's Maror. So therefore, the question doesn't get off the ground in Rabbi Akiva. Kiti Bailoch, where does Rami Bar Chama's question go? Can he be yotze with Maror that is Meiser Sheni? Aliba, the Rav Yosef Aglili, who says you can't be yotze with Matzah that is Meiser Sheni. So, my, what would he say by Maror? B'matzah, which has a chiv d'oraisa to take Trumas and Meisers on grains, d'oraisa hu d'lonofik. That's why you can't be yotze. For the reasons that we brought down, it has to be something that can be eaten b'chol mosh v'seichem. And therefore, this is not able to be eaten b'chol mosh v'seichem. If it came, once it's in Yerushalayim, it can't be taken out. Avo Maror, which is only the Rabbanon to take off Trumas and Maisos, maybe you can in fact be Yotzi Nofi, because it's only me, the Rabbanon, that you can't take it out of Yerushalayim once you brought it there. On the Daraisa level, you could. So maybe you could be Yotze with the Maror. Or do we say Al Duma? No. Call the Tiknu Rabbanon Kein Daraisa Tikkun. Whenever the rabbi set up a din d'rabbanon, they parallel it after the din d'araisa. And therefore, just like d'araisa, once it goes into Yerushalayim, it can't be taken out. So too, me the rabbanon, once it goes into Yerushalayim, it can't be taken out. And therefore, you can't, like Rav Yossi Aglila said, by the matzah, you can't be yotzi with ma'aser sheni. So too, with the maror, you can't be yotzi with ma'aser sheni. That's the question. Amar Rava. Rava says, mistavra matzu maror, mistavra, that they have the same din. There's no reason to think that the rabbis didn't set it up just like the din d'araisa. And therefore, can't be eaten b'chol moshe v'seichem. And therefore, just like you can't be yotze with matzah of Ma'isa Sheni, according to Rav Yossi HaGlili, so too you can't be yotze with Maror of Ma'isa Sheni, according to Rav Yossi HaGlili. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Shorin is Hamursun L'Tarna Golem. And now that I go, and Shorin means to soak in water, the Mursun means the bran, the feed that you're giving to the chickens, you're going to put it into water, albeit the chicken's going to eat it, but meanwhile it's going to become chametz. So you can't do this. So you can't soak in water, avo cholten, but you can go and put it into boiling hot water. Cholten is, Rashi explains, beroschen, you put it into boiling hot water. And this way, shein manichin osun lahachmetz, it instantly cooks it, and it doesn't give it a chance to go mekom chametz. That you can do. Likewise, ha'isha lo tishre es hamursun shetolich biyod lemerchatz. A woman wants to go and rub some of this mursun, this bran on her body, to make her body more beautiful. And it can be used to clean her body. And therefore, she wets this and then goes and brings it to the bathhouse. You're not allowed to do that because after you wet it, it's going to start to become chametz. So therefore, a woman, Aisha, lo tishre es hamursun, she shouldn't soak this mursun on the way, shetolich biyod lemerchatz, and hold it in her hand. You might have thought, specifically when you're holding it in your hand, that that's considered like you're working it, you're amel with it, and therefore it shouldn't become chametz, just like when a person is mixing the dough, it doesn't become chametz as long as he's mixing the dough. So you might have thought, while she's holding it in her hands, it doesn't become chametz. So the answer is no, it does become chametz. That holding in her hands is not called being amel with it, and it could become chametz. However, avol shofhi b'bsari yavish, but she is allowed to go and rub this mursun on her skin when it's dry, and even though Rashi says v'afopi shemayim tovchin al b'sara, she's going to have some water dripping on her body after she comes out of the bath, so she can rub this on and it's going to get wet, but that would not concern the bath. That's too small amount for it to become chametz. The Rosh, however, says that why wouldn't a little bit of water go and make it chametz? So therefore, he says it's talking about zeya, it's talking about sweat, and sweat isn't like water, it doesn't have the potential to make it chametz. The Mishnah continues and says, likewise, lo yilos odum chitim v'yaniach hamakoso, a person can't go and chew the grains because his saliva will get it wet and will turn chametz. While he's chewing it, he can chew it all day. It's working with it and it won't become chametz. But as soon as he takes it out of his mouth, v'yaniach hamakoso, when he puts it on his wound, they used to think that that would be beneficial to take some of this chewed grain and place it as a poultice on the wound, so then it will become chametz. And therefore, mipnei shei machmitzos, it will become chametz, and you're not allowed to do that. Gemara starts off by quoting the following brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Boyin Lidei Chimutz. The following things can't become chametz. Now, we're dealing here that something was done to them, and subsequently they come into contact with water. So, for example, Ha'ofui, once you bake something, so once it's baked, once you have matzah, so there's no way that it can become chametz, even if you soak it in water. The whole custom of not eating gebrokst, which is basically eating matzah that comes into contact with water, so in that situation, that's a pure minhag that has nothing to do with the actual din, because the absolute din everybody agrees to is once matzah is baked, it cannot become chametz. So there's a custom of a stringency that many have, especially the Hasidic communities, not to eat matzah that comes into contact with water, gebrochst. But technically, everybody agrees, if something was baked, it can't become chametz. So even if it comes into contact with water afterwards, it doesn't have the potential to become chametz. Likewise, hamavushal, we'll explain in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask, if it's mavushal, how did it get that way? So if something is mavushal, so then it can't become chametz as well. Any further, if it comes into contact with water. And likewise, v'chalot, shechalato b'roasted. If you have something that was placed into boiling hot water, and therefore it is no longer capable of becoming chametz, so then even if it comes into contact with water afterwards, it won't be able to become chametz. So Gemara asked the obvious question, mavushal, when you put something in to cook it, so during the initial cooking period, it will become chametz. Ad mavashal lei mechameya. While you're cooking it, that cooking is going to make it into chametz before it becomes fully cooked. So Gemara says, "Amar Papa, ha'afui shebishlu kamar." We're dealing here if you had something that was cooked after it was baked, so then it can't become chametz. The critical factor here is that the bishul won't work on something that was baked. But obviously, until something becomes bishul, of course it would become chametz, and therefore you can't go and cook chametz. That was Rav Papa's teretz. Gemara now gives another brisa. Tanya, Rav Yosef Yehuda Omer, kemach shenot falasocho delef. If you have flour, kemach, that had water dripping into it. Delef is like dripping water into it. So afilu kolayam kula, even if the water is dripping into it all day long, that is considered amelus in it, that's considered like it's being worked, and it doesn't allow the chimutz process to continue. Eino boile de chimutz. It's like if you're working on a dough with water all day long, it can't become chametz. And therefore, this dripping water into this flour is not going to allow it to become chametz because of the constant dripping in. And Rav Papa qualifies this statement as well. On Rav Papa, he says, "Hu de ovid tif laha de tif." It has to be a continuous dripping. It can't be either dripped and then 10 minutes later another drip and 10 minutes later another drip. No. Hu de ovid tif laha de tif. Each drop falls in with the other drop right after it. So it's a continuous pouring of water on it, even though it's just drops, but each drop is drop, 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 and therefore it can't become chametz. As Rashi points out, shetirut hadelef, this continuous dripping, hanofel tomit, it's constantly dripping, eino menichol achmes, doesn't give it a chance to go and become chametz. Gemara says, Amei devei Rav Sheila, and they learn the base medrash of Rav Sheila, vatika, again, it's a certain type of grain, flour. Rashi says it's some sort of a meichel kemach, some sort of a dish that has flour inside of it. Shari is allowed to be eaten on Pesach. Now, how is that? Votanya, vatika osur. We have a brisa that says vatika is osur. So the Gemara says, lokash, it depends. Ha de v'mishcha of milcha. Ha de b'mayo milcha. It depends what you put in with the flour. If you put in oil, which is not mechametz, and salt as well, then it doesn't become chametz. As Rashi says, mishcha and milcha, bekimcha, oil and salt in the flour, shari, why? Dumei peros ein machmitz, because this is like mei peros. The oil is mei peros, and it doesn't have the potential to make it chametz. But maya and milcha, that would become chametz. Now we have another statement. Amar Marzutra, Marzutra says, lo limche inish, a person shouldn't go and try to make the consistency of a dish that he's making a thicker consistency, that's called limche. Lo limche inish, kidra, shouldn't make the dish that you're cooking in some sort of a pot thicker consistency by using bekimcha davishuna. Rashi explains that this is some sort of a flour that is nisyabsha, the nicholas betanar. It is dried out and made like into popcorn inside the oven. And it's very dry. And he says it's like it's baked, varhi kafuya. Even so, afilohachi loli oven. You shouldn't go and try to thicken the consistency of this dish using these parched, toasted types of grains. And the reasoning is, the Gemara says, Dilma lo boshel shapir, you may end up not doing it so well. As Rashi says, lo nasis koli kol tzorcha, you're not going to toast it fully in this oven. Umachmetz is betashel. And then when you put it in for consistency purposes into this dish, va'osi l'dei chimutz, it's going to become chametz. As Rashi says, ukishi tarfa bikaru, when you stir it up in this dish, he machmetz, it's going to make the whole dish chametz over here. She'ein derech nisinosa l'soch tafshu rosech, because you don't put it into boiling hot water, you put it into this dish before it's boiling hot, and therefore it's going to allow it to become chametz. Similarly, Amar Rav Yosef said, lo lichlot inish, a person shouldn't go and do this chilut, this putting it into boiling water. We turn to Memamad Aleph with trei chite bahadi adode. Don't go and do this chalita process of pouring boiling water on two pieces of wheat together. The reasoning is, Dilma, if you do this, maybe they're going to attach to each other Ozlo Chada V'yasa Bitsira de Chaverta, that one of these kernels of wheat is going to come and attach itself, so to say, in the groove of the other one, and therefore below Soliklu the Kula de Maya, and all the water won't be able to get inside every aspect of each of these kernels, the Arba Ruchsa, from all four sides, on the side that they're connected, so to say, one side is blocking the water from getting into that opposing side on the other kernel, and therefore that side will become chametz from the water. So don't do two together because of this concern. V'amar Abaye Abaye says, Lo lichroch inish trei shibole b'hadi adode. Likewise, don't take two stalks of the wheat over here and singe them with a fire together. Why? Because again, Dilma, nofki maya mehai ubala idach. Because as you're singeing the first one, some of the water will come out from it and it'll get the second stalk wet. And therefore, v'yasav dechimot, and it's going to cause the second grain to become chametz. Very similar to the trei chite. Rava doesn't like this latter statement that Abaye made. So Amalei Rava, Rava says to Abaye, Ihachi, if you're correct, so then, Afilu Chodanami, then even with one stalk of grain, you shouldn't be allowed to do this, because maybe when you singe one of them, the top part, you're going to get the juice to come out of that stalk, it'll go to the bottom part, and it'll become chametz. Dilmanofik mehai resha, ubala idach resha, it's going to go and make the other side chametz. So you shouldn't be allowed to do this at all. El Omar Rava says, the reason why you're allowed to do this is Meperis Dinu, because the juice that comes out from the grain is not considered water. It's not capable to be machmitz. Meperos eino machmitzin. It's fruit juice. It is juice of grain. And juice of grain is not capable of being machmitz. And in fact, Abaye says, you're right. Abaye retracted his statement. And he said, the whole agav midlayhu lo machamtze. When the juice comes out of the stalk, it's not capable of making a chametz. Not because necessarily it's meperos ein machmitz. He says it's the movement. As long as the juice is flowing, midlayu, it can't make a chametz. Domar bayi, hachatzpo diavushina. When you have this container that is used to toast these kernels, so zekifa, it's held upside down, so then in this situation, zekifa, it's upside down, shrei, it's good. Because the juice is constantly flowing out of these kernels, and it's going out through the open, it's inverted, so now the opening is on the bottom, and the juice flows out. But zekiva, if it's held upright, so that the juice gathered at the bottom, so then it's not flowing, so then osur. That's what Abaye says. But again, Rava disagrees. Rava says, that's not the reason why. Rava Mar, no, afilu zekiva na mishrei. Even if it is in the upright position, so the juice is all gathering at the bottom, it's not a problem. The reason is because this juice is meperos ninu, or meperos eno machmitzin. Because these are fruit juices, this juice from the stalk of the wheat doesn't have the capability, doesn't have the potential to be machmitz the rest of the grains. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.